folks. I very much appreciate the sense of camaraderie today. We don't all agree on where we are with this Kings thing or what needs to be done exactly, but we're in this together. To that point, text of the day, nominee here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. From the 209, didn't put their name on it, but Jay pointed this out to me. Way to breathe, Whitey. Proud of you. Thank you.
We are, man. We're rooting for you, brother. We are rooting for you, man. In all seriousness.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm fine one way or the other. It's just I'm hoping I don't have to end up wearing one of those things. And I know a million people, you know, it's funny. He's talking about it. You know, oh, yeah, I wear one. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So-and-so wears one. I guess if I have to, I will, but I'm hoping I don't have to, Jay.
I know, man. It's
can you get a team logo one? If I have to wear one of those CPAP things, have Kings colors or your favorite?
Which one would you be wearing? Because if you're going to wear the Kings, you're going to be up and down. Wow. You don't want that one. Not right now. And now, if this was last year, you want the Kings version.
Uh-huh.
Right now, you might have some good nights, some bad nights, good night sleeps, you know, some waking up in the middle of the night, the way it's going.
That's true. Yeah, I want a Kings one where when you have a good night's sleep, the beam goes up, you know?
Oh,
like,
that'd be dope.
That'd be nice. Dope.
It might keep up the wife, though, because it'd be bright. But
well.
Okay. I guess you said if I have to do it, I have to do it. Huh?
You're going to make an omelet. You're going to break a few eggs. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We got two of our favorite callers ready to roll here. So let's start with TC. It's time for Check It with TC. What's up, TC?
Oh, hey, check it out. Whitey, what's up?
Hey, good, good. How you doing?
I'm all right. Now, let's check it out. Like, I was talking to JJ earlier, bro. Like,
do you need music? TC, do you need music for Check It with TC? Is there anything
you might have to?
Yeah.
We might have to add to it. T, what kind of music you like, brother?
Hey, look, I'm versatile, man. Listen, whatever you want to throw on, oldies, I mean, slow rock, R&B, whatever flavor you want to go.
All right, Jay will come out with something probably based on what you got to tell us. So you go ahead and Jay will take care of the rest.
That's my homie. Hey, listen, check it out. So, hey, the whole thing with the coaching situation is I love Mike Brown. I don't want Mike to go anywhere. But like Jay was saying, Jordy Fernandez, earth to you, bro, where are you at? Like, you know what I'm saying? Where are you guys at as far as fixing? What I mean by fixing is knowing, having counters off the three-pointers. Like, I understand. I understand that's our identity. We shoot three-pointers. But, bro, we have to have a counter off that. We can't just keep shooting. Like the caller said earlier, we shoot ourselves in games and we shoot ourselves out of games. It's like if it's not a three-pointer, it's like, bro, we don't know what to do. What happened to giving the ball to HB down the block? Things like that, bro. Like, that part of the offense, I don't care, going forward with these 20 games going into the playoffs, that has to change, bro. We won't win anything with playing how we're playing. If we're on, it's fine. But you're not going to be on every game. You're not going to be on seven games in a seven-game series, bro. So you got to know how to do pick and rolls, backdoor cuts, whatever you want to do, bro, besides when the three-pointer is now falling. Also, Mike, you have to stop playing with these rotations, bro. Seriously, you have to know when somebody's on. If a guy gave you a good game before, Keon Ellis, Alex Lynn, particularly those two guys should be thrown in the rotation. I know you're shortening rotations, bro, but those two dudes particularly, they have to be in a rotation no matter what. Keon should be getting some type of minutes, and Alex Lynn should be getting some type of minutes. This shouldn't have to be we're running with the starters a bunch of minutes, even if guys are falling off the map. Mike, you keep inserting people. Like, bro, Mike, tighten it down a little bit about that, bro. What I mean by tighten it is when you see somebody has a hot hand or somebody gave you a good game before, bro, don't be afraid to throw them back in the game, Mike. That's all I got. Like, this goes back to last year with Terrence Davis, with him not getting a bunch of minutes. That's the only downfall with Mike Brown. I love what Mike does. But me particular, that's his only downfall, bro, playing with rotations.
Thank you, TC. And that's Check It with TC for today.
Check It with T. That's it from here on out. Love T, man. T's got a lot of passion as a fan, man, and I respect it. I think that's something you do a great job of speaking to, Whitey, man. It's frustrating as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you live and die. You win, you lose, you fall out. As you said, you're looking for a CPAP with a Kings logo on it. I mean, you're ready to go to sleep with the Kings, brother.
Yes, yes. By the way, TC, to your point about the threes, last night, fourth quarter, they I guess it was Trey Lyles, actually, as you probably know if you watched the game. He passed up a three. Now, Trey Lyles last night for the game, he was 1 for 6 on his threes. So in a way, you could say, well, you don't blame him for passing one up, right? And yet after the game, I'm just checking fourth quarter here, he was 0 for 1, took 1 3 in the fourth quarter, I believe, and didn't make it. But he was passing up shots. And Mike Brown mentioned that after the game. Mike Brown said, hey, we don't want to pass up those threes. That's, you got to let it fly. So, I mean, as a fan, you hear that, right? And say, well, they're not making threes. Can you blame a guy who's not making a three when he says, game's on the line here, maybe I'm not going to shoot it? It's interesting because Mike Brown talked about not following the game plan. Can you blame a guy who's not feeling it? You know, Jay, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not, I don't think I'm going to make that. I know you want to be confident. You're not supposed to think that way. But can you blame a guy if he's feeling like, I'm not shooting well tonight and the game's on the line here, I'm not going to shoot that three?
Yeah, no, I can't.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. It's interesting. Do we want to hear the Mike Brown on the threes, brother, since you brought that up? Is that something you want to hear? Is there?
Yeah, but first I think we need to get to Will.
Will,
don't you?
I love it. Let's go to Will.
Will.
Will's bringing a passion,
drive,
too.
Guys. What's up, Will?
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
Oh, Will, hold on real quick, Will. Don't tell me you're down today, brother.
All right, brother.
Don't tell me you're down.
Are you down today?
Are you down? Are you down?
Oh, yeah, man. Look, Jay. Look, Whitey, we appreciate your analysis, and you know, you saying they did this, did that. Look, man, it's way beyond. You know, it's
analysis.
Way beyond panic.
Yeah.
Way beyond panic time. I mean, it's too many of these games, and let me tell you something. The last two callers were right. Let me tell you something, and Jay, I can feel you, man. I feel you all the way through the phone, bro. You want to say something, but you can't say it, man. Look, man, Brown. Look, like those guys say, the team get them 20-point leads and they shoot themselves out of the game. Coach Brown had to let those guys know, you're up 20. Don't come down there and throw up a three so fast. Run the clock. Run a play. You know, pass the ball. They got to think they got – if the opposition come down and hit two threes, they feel like they got to run back down there and get that three right away. They got to get that three right back when that's not basketball. And then, Coach, you see DeRozan got hot and Kobe was getting hot. And they were on a heater. He didn't trap them. He didn't double team them. Look, when they beat the Clippers at home, they trapped Kawhi. They made sure he got rid of that ball. They wasn't gonna let Kawhi just run a heater on them that night. And the Kings have a hard time in realizing when they can't guard people, they gotta trap guys and double team guys. How many guys get career high on the Kings?
Everybody. I mean, yeah, Kobe.
Everybody.
Kobe White's previous high was against the Kings, and then he broke that last night against the Kings.
And we have a hard time against athletic guys, you know, guys between 6'5 and 6'8. And the coach got to know that. He knows that.
Ayo Dosunmu could have scored. He was scoring at will last night. Ayo Dosunmu was lighting the Kings up.
He don't make adjustments during the game. We knew you can't let DeRozan get the ball down the stretch. You got it. He can't be the one shooting the ball down the stretch. He was killing HB. HB, how many times have I called you guys about HB getting one rebound, one assist? He's 6'8". Something has to change. And then Domas gets frustrated. He had 5 turnovers because he, instead of him just kicking the ball out, he's trying to force it. I mean, I know he gets the triple-doubles, but those little things hurt you. So we up 20 twice during the game and lose. That's on coaching. That's the coaching staff. You got to make adjustments. And JaVale never get any time now. I don't understand what's going on with Brown, man. I like Brown, but I don't understand what's going on with some of his decision that he's making, man, because it's no way you should lose that many close games, especially when you're at home and you got a big lead. Those guys, you got to be the coach to direct those guys and what they're doing and launching, even DeRozan, If he hit a three, he's going to throw up three or four more no matter what, man. You can't do that. You know, you can't do that. I think it's coaching, man. I really think it's coaching. I think he got too many assistants. He got too many people in his ear. You know, they got to double team guys. Look what happened with the guy from Miami. I mean, the guy that went to Cleveland from Miami. I think he got a career high on the Kings. What's his
name? Max Strus.
True. I mean, the guy looked like an all-star. I don't even think he scored 15 points since.
Kevin Love lit up the Kings. Yeah, Kevin Love of all people. Yeah.
Yeah, and Kerry Love. And look, and then your boys before you guys,
Stiles and Watkins.
They keep trying to get a little Herter, a little pub and everything. But Herter is I like Herter, but he's a problem on defense. He can't guard nobody. He's too slow. He can't guard. And if he ain't hitting shots, he shouldn't be out there.
Got you, Will. Thank you very much. I always enjoy hearing from you. I would just say this. You touched on some things that Mike Brown actually addressed last night. Mike Brown, you know, I think Mike Brown realizes he doesn't have the defenders that he'd like to have on this roster. And at this point, the deadline's come and gone. There's nothing he can do about it. So he doesn't spend as much time talking about, we got to be better defensively, because he knows, well, there's no help's coming. But he talked about specifically last night, and he said, we may be able to find the cut here at some point. He says, you know, they had DeRozan's going, and they got Dosunmu's going, scoring at will, and White scoring. And he goes, this is not the first time he said this, and he's choosing his words really carefully. He says, it's really difficult when the other team has three guys you have to double. Because you don't have enough people. And the reason they have to double those guys is because they can't stop them one-on-one. And I think that's the biggest problem this team has. They just are not very good defensively. There's too many bad matchups like last night. When you have, Will, to your point, you got an athletic wing and you got a guy trying to guard him. We can't guard him. It doesn't matter how good that guy's team is. That guy can ruin your night on that particular night, because there's so many bad matchups for the Kings because they're so bad on the perimeter defensively. That's a big deal for the Kings. Let's take quick timeout, Jay. Yeah. You have the Mike Brown? All right, here's Mike Brown speaking of that last night. Thank you, Jay.
Okay. We got to sit down and guard, especially, you know, if it's not one of their primary guys. And then, you know, DeRozan, or, you know, anytime he caught on the post, we doubled him tonight. And then we started hitting him, I think, in the fourth quarter in his ISO situations, and tried to get the ball out of his hands a couple of times. And you know, other guys made plays for him. You know, Kobe ended up with 37 because of us doubling, and now the ball's getting swung and we're getting to him, and he's a really good shooter, a high level shooter, and he's knocking down the right shots. But there was a stretch there that he and Io DeSunmu, they just took us off the dribble, and it's tough when you think you gotta double or hit those two guys. So we have to do a better job of trying to contain, other guys besides, team's main players, so that we're not running around and double teaming everybody throughout the entire ball game.
And yes, Jay heard it there. You heard it. He is choosing his words so carefully and trying not to say, we can't stop anybody off the dribble. And the first thing he said there, I didn't tell you what the question was. The question was, what did you think of the defense here? There, and he said, how well did you think you defended? He said, okay. And he wants so badly to tell you what he really thinks. And he's trying to explain the problem without throwing his team under the bus. That, I think, is his biggest frustration with his team and maybe their single biggest issue going forward. We take a timeout. When we come back, we'll get back to the phones. And I got to tell you, why it looks like the Kings may be losing some of these games at home that we think they should win with the Drive Guys. Next, Sactown Sports. Here is it. It's Stone Temple Pilots with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Together, we're getting through this difficult day for Kings fans. On the other hand, it's a lot better than having one of those days where you're going, they lost again, it doesn't matter. So we always keep that in mind, right? You know, these games matter. Thank you to Will. Thank you to TC.
Check it.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. We don't always agree, but yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's we're here to hear whatever you have to say, debate it, discuss it, agree with it, whatever. And back to the phones we go. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mike has been patiently hanging on. Mike, what the heck happened to the Kings last night? Hey.
The same thing's been happening to us since last year, and they didn't address it in the offseason, and they didn't address it at the trade deadline. They got the same lineup they did last year. Last year they were soft. Draymond punked them in the playoffs, and that's what teams are doing. They're just they're not tough. They got a good team, but they're not tough. They didn't do nothing. They didn't bring anybody in. Harrison Barnes should have been gone. Now that he's not gone, he needs to be on the bench because he's just taking up space out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to, what Katie's talking about, how good Trey Lyles was last night. He was terrible. Great thing. That was the best re-signing him. They didn't go and get anybody. They could have went and got, they could have traded for DeRozan. They didn't do that. They keep the front office keeps making mistakes by not doing anything. You didn't do anything last year. You got bounced in the first round. You're going to get bounced in the first round again this year because in the playoffs it even gets tougher. Kobe was going to the basket last night, dunking on him, and there was nobody around. No one helping. No one stepping up. It's just constant inconsistency. And they don't. It's almost like they were giggling and laughing when they're up 20, and then all of a sudden – Chicago turned a switch, and they didn't know what to do.
Thank you, Mike. I agree with one thing you said. I agree with a couple things you said, but especially with the whole point that Kings are basically the same. I was going to check on this. I'm guessing that right now the Kings are one of the very few teams in the NBA that basically are starting the same group that they were early last season.
Mm. Beginning of last season.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. 22-23 season.
Yeah, and I know they didn't start the year that way because they had some, you know, it took them a while to find this group, this five, but this has been basically the Kings starting five since through almost all of last year and all of this year. And that's pretty rare when you look at the other teams, especially in the West and the changes they've made. To me, it speaks to I think the roster's a little on the thin side.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you're right. The rest of the league gets better. Just as an example, last year the Kings shot on three-pointers, it was 369 was their percentage. That was ninth best. Okay, that was last year. This year the Kings are at 370. It was a little bit better. They're 13th because everyone else got better. And the Kings, you know, you're not going to improve that much when you basically have the same guys. Are they, you know, Keegan's a little better, and you went and got some bench guys hoping they'd get better. And they really, that hasn't worked out. It still could. You know, Sasha hasn't done anything. So I think you're right. The league improved, and the Kings, when it came time to make a decision or not on a deal, it's like the cost is not worth the benefits. Okay, but right now you're just kind of stuck where you were. At some point, you got to do something to improve.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with Mike there as well. One of the things I agree with Mike is, and, you know, this is something that's kind of been called to arms, you know, over the last season and a half or so with the toughness and the physicality that Coach Brown always speaks about this team needing to play with. Is, and you saw it, you know, point blank period last night with the Kobe White go ahead bucket. And it was, you know, albeit, look, by that time, the officials were letting the guys play. You could see it. Like they're allowing.
Trey Lyles stepped in.
Yes.
And he just bumped him off.
Yeah. And Kobe pushed off. And I apologize because I don't remember who the first defender was, you know, on the outside. And he pushed off. And then he went straight into Trey Lyles. And he pushed off on Trey Lyles and threw up the short push shot and got the bucket to take the lead for the Bulls. And that was almost like, in my mind, was like, that was the season. That's what people have been clamoring for, is the toughness, the someone to, you know, I don't want to say clothesline anyone, but put some physical, you know, a hard physical foul on someone. Go earn it at the line, where it was more or less, we kind of gave it to you easily. And at the same time, we were kind of also depending on the referees to make the call, you know. And it happened a couple times down the stretch. The other one that pulled into my mind was the Davion blocking foul, where Kobe kind of did the inside out dribble, went separated the defenders, went straight at Davion, got the and one where he, you know, he made the free throw shot as well. That was another example of, no, make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do something a little different compared to rely on the officials.
Yeah. You got out physical down the stretch in your own gymnasium.
Yes.
That leaves a mark.
It's tough.
Yeah. George, Sacktown Sports, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, George.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. The other gentleman that just talked to you stole my thunder. But, again, we criticize the coaches. We criticize the players. But we're not criticizing the brass. We're not criticizing the ownership and McNair. Now, like you guys have said, the problems of the Kings were around for about a year and a half. And I do not want to hear at all that McNair, oh, he tried. He tried and he couldn't do it. Oh, really? Well, how about the other 15 teams that tried and succeeded? Why did they succeed and you failed? Period.
Fair question,
you
George.
Failed.
Yes. It's a fair question. I know I have said, talking about Siakam, they made an attempt. My point there is not to say, well, they did all they could do. My point is they were making an effort.
Yeah.
You're right. I understand your point. As we said last week, I think Jay brought it up. Do or do not. There is no try. You know? Yeah, you're right. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And here you are with basically the same team you had last year. While, I mean, look at some of the other lineups in the conference, teams that you're looking up at and how much they have changed. Here's a theory, Jay, on why the Kings lose some of these games at home to teams that we think they should beat.
Your theory? One of yours?
I don't know if I'm the first person to come up with it. They lost to Charlotte on the 2nd of January, 111-104.
Yes.
Charlotte was shorthanded. It was a bad loss. It was the first home game after a three-game trip for the Kings.
Yeah.
They lost to Indiana on the 18th of January, 126-121. Indiana had no Halliburton.
Yep.
They had just made the Siakam trade.
Mm.
Didn't have Siakam yet, but they had sent guys out, so they were shorthanded. That was the first home game for the Kings.
Ben Matherin went crazy.
Yes,
that night,
yes.
Yeah.
Kings were home for the first time after a five-game trip. Detroit on the 7th of February, 133-122. That was the first home game back after a seven-game trip.
Yeah.
Even the Miami game, that was the first home game back after it's just been a one-game trip, but it was only their second home game in the last six. And then last night, they lose to the Bulls, first game back after a two-game trip. So, again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to figure out what is going on, and it does seem like the Kings, you know, they come home from a trip. They're very vulnerable. And, again, to me, it's because that roster is a little thin overall. Mm. Starters are playing a lot of minutes, especially Domas and De'Aaron Fox.
And, you know, if we want to put the real scope under the, you know, put the scope on the whole situation, they've played a lot of minutes over the last year and a half.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Last season and a half or season and three quarters. And I think, I don't want to say it's taking its toll, but we've seen De'Aaron bumped and bruised. You know, we know Domas had the hand situation last year and played through it, didn't miss a game besides the first game, I believe. And I don't know if that's playing a toll on what's going on, but it's another theory. I think you're onto something there, White.
Yeah. And again, just trying to figure out how is this happening.
And I think we all are.
Last night, that was just like, I know it happens. Like, Jay's right. How can you be surprised? Okay, not surprised, but still, why is it happening? Maybe Brendan Nunes has the answer. Our Sacktown Sports Kings Insider joins us. I'm sure he'll have all the answers for us next on Sacktown Sports. Jerry Reynolds is going to join us at 4:30 right now. We continue to lick our wounds after that tough loss last night, even in this season of tough losses. That one, in some ways, was the toughest. We turn our attention to a guy who should have all the answers here. One of our outstanding Sacktown Sports insiders. He was there last night. He saw the carnage firsthand. Brendan Nunes, how are you today, Brendan?
I'm doing all right. I hope I can be a decent precursor for Jerry. It's a high bar, but I will attempt.
Well, I'm sure you can, as long as we don't ask much, Brendan. All we ask is that you explain to us what the heck happened to the Kings last night.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to exactly pin down. When it comes to having the answers, I think that if I knew or the coaching staff knew, that I think that we wouldn't still be dealing with these same inconsistencies. But really, I think one of the big things yesterday is coming into the game, Chicago's a team that, while they're not great defensively, one thing they do well is they allow the least points in the paint of any team. They do a really good job of packing that paint when guys start driving in, a lot of active hands. And that was known. That was part of the game plan coming into the night. And still, guys got just a little too deep in the paint, or they're kicking out to shooters and guys are passing up looks that, even if you're slightly open and a good shooter, those were the kind of shots that they really were coming into the night thinking that they were looking for, and they ended up going away from that, and turnovers became an issue. And then, obviously, on the other end, DeMar DeRozan kind of did whatever he wanted at the end, and Kobe White in there too. But I think a lot of it last night specifically is they came in with a game plan. We know what Chicago's strengths are and how we're going to counter it, and I don't think their execution was great in the process.
Brennan, as of last week, I remember you saying, hey, Kings fans, don't panic. And I think the last few times that, you know, Drapes and Whitey and me have had you on, you've kind of issued that same statement, you know, half glass full type of person. How do you, I guess, and do me a favor, and I don't want you to play psychiatrist, but how do you still be half glass full after the performance last night?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's honestly just kind of how I lean in general. But I'll say I think it's a more big picture thing, because I get the frustrations with this year. Like, after the players-only meeting and that really bad loss to Denver, you come out, you beat Minnesota, top team in the West, without De'Aaron Fox. You have a great game. It's like, okay, maybe there's going to be this sense of accountability. This could be a turning point. And then these inconsistencies come up again in this Chicago game. So I get the concern with this season, but I think a lot of my optimism comes in the long-term roster construction that we're talking about here, where everybody's locked up outside of Malik Monk, which is a big question mark this offseason for sure. But you have a core in place, really, if you're talking about De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, for a long time. You have a lot of team control on those guys, and you still have all your assets available to go take that big swing. So I think that we're still talking about a team that is just early in the process, and until they take that big swing, I think my expectations are that, you know, maybe I'm just looking for some internal improvement. I'm looking for more consistency from De'Aaron Fox, or I can really hang on to the progress Keegan Murray made as the defender this season and what that means for the long-term projection. So I think a lot of my optimism is that I still think that down the line, this team's in a good spot to still eventually take that next swing. And I'm fine with the patience that has kind of gone on in that meantime for now still, while Keegan is still on his rookie deal. But I think that this is just, you know, the part of the process that they're in. Growth is not linear in the NBA, and still just maintaining sort of the production that they had last year, I think, is a positive when you're talking about the long-term roster construction here.
All guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, and we're catching up with our insider, Brendan Nunes. I want to ask you about that whole notion of the Kings not following the game plan last night, because I know Mike Brown talked about that last night. And we know, as you said, Brendan, we know that the Bulls are very tough defensively in the paint, and we saw it. So, long story short, Mike Brown said, we worked on this, we talked about that. You don't want to get stuck in the paint. You don't want to penetrate too deep, because then you get stuck in there. You want to spray it out, and we want to shoot threes. However, the Kings weren't making threes last night. They're 11 for 37. So I know Mike Brown said Trey Lyles in the fourth quarter, he didn't mention him by name, but he said, we passed up some threes in the fourth quarter. You got to take those. What do you do if you can't? He said, we don't drive. That's not really us. If you're not making threes and the coach wants you to keep taking threes, I mean, doesn't it sound like, well, that's not a winning formula?
I mean, I do think it's a tough mental spot for some players to potentially be in, but I think that you kind of need to trust the process, for lack of better words. Like, these are good shooters that we're talking about, really. And I think part of the reason it got complicated is I believe De'Aaron Fox ends up playing that entire fourth quarter, and he didn't play very well, yet he only made 1 point in that fourth quarter, while DeRozan is putting up 19. And this is reigning clutch player of the year. You want him to be able to do more. Or even Domas is in foul trouble. He has 5 fouls on the night. Keegan Murray, same thing, in foul trouble that I think messes with your rotations. And specifically, those are the guys that should be creating for the shooters when you talk about Fox and Domas. So I do see how it's a tough mental spot to be in of, you know, do we want to just keep doing the same thing when these shots aren't going down? But I think they do just need to trust a little bit that you're a good shooter. Even Trey Lyles, 1 of 6. I'm not mad if you go 1 of 7. You know, maybe it's kind of the Deion Waiters. I'd rather go 0 for 30 than 0 for 6 because that means I lost confidence, you know? So it's a little extreme, obviously, but I think that just having a sense of trust in that game plan of this is what we're good at, even if it's not necessarily working tonight, you have to trust that at some point they're going to fall, and all it takes is 2 triples to go down, and, you know, we're talking about a whole different game.
Joined by Brendan Nunez, our Sac Sports 1140 Kings insider, one of the best to do it. Brendan, I know we started this show as Whitey talking about, you know, yesterday being frustrating and being frustrating for the fans, and how can we continue to accept some of these losses. And I think one of the things, speaking for Whitey here, I think he's put the point across, is he wants to see some type of intensity or urgency from the players, of not just going to the podium and saying, oh, look, we need to play harder, or giving that players talk or coach speak. Are you sensing that the players are feeling that type of urgency from the fans, or do you think it's just, you know, every single day is just another day and we continue the same trick?
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely see it. You know, as much as a lot of these dudes are going to deny how aware they are of socials, it's impossible, I feel like, for most guys in today's day and age not to, even if that's family or friends sending them something. Like, you're going to see things here and there. And I think the frustration that the fan base has, like, they also have internally. They want to be better. They can't exactly, you know, pinpoint in every single one of these what needs to be different. Like, why are these inconsistencies keep on happening? And at some point, you might need to just point to roster construction. I was listening to some people that were calling in right before I got on, and I get that frustration. Again, I think it's a process, and I'm fine with this being the point in the process they're at, but it is the reality we're currently dealing with. And I think that the guys are definitely aware of it. The frustration the fan base has, again, I think is shared within the locker room, but I do also still think there's a belief that when they're playing at their best, they're not scared of anybody. And that's what makes this team so weird, is that after that, again, players only meeting, I was optimistic that, okay, maybe there will be a little bit more internal leadership and accountability, something that I think has kind of been missing on this roster for a lot of this season. And then obviously this happens again against Chicago, and you kind of have to go back to really questioning that. But the tough part is, again, I believe, just like I think they do, that they're playing their best basketball come postseason, they could get out of the first round. And I don't know that I'd bet on it, but when they're at their best, I do think they are good enough to compete with anybody in the Western Conference. It's just trying to figure out why that does not happen on a night-to-night basis. And there's variance in a lot of these games, but there is definitely a seemingly lack of, like, internal accountability of, you know, somebody earlier was talking about pretty much they get pumped. And sometimes I feel that. It's a run should last. NBA is a game of runs. It's going to happen for the other team, but we need to be talking about 5-6 minute runs rather than 10 minutes to
right,
a quarter.
Right, right. Brendan Nunez with us, by the way. Don't ever call him Brandon Nunez. He's heard it. He's heard enough of it. He gets that a lot, and he doesn't like it. Okay? Just so you know, we certainly understand. Brendan, all kidding aside, see, I didn't mention the other thing, but I had to go with that. Why isn't this team better on the home floor, Brendan?
And I kind of just have to guess with this one, to be honest, but I feel like sometimes when you're on the road there, it's could be easier to juice yourself up.
Really?
I think that for some people it is, that there's, you know, it's us against everybody in this building. And I think there's a sense of, you know, camaraderie that comes with that. And that you have to be locked in. We better be all fighting for each other here, because we're the only people in this entire building. And again, I'm really just guessing here, because I don't feel like there's good answers. They have to be better at home when it comes down to it. But this is the second year in a row where it feels like they have more fight. And specifically, you see it defensively, where I think so much of the defensive end of the floor has to do with effort and engagement, communication, things that I think you could go into a home or a road game and feel like we have to be more locked into this stuff, because again, it's us against everybody in here. And maybe they're just more comfortable at home, if that makes sense. And again, like I said, guessing, because it is a weird thing going on here, because they have to be better at home.
Yeah. All right, Brendan. We appreciate it. You take care. And, boy, big game tomorrow night now, huh?
Very big game. Wow. Very big game. Lakers, Warriors trending upwards for sure. And it wouldn't surprise me. You know, if I'm one of those teams, the Kings are probably the ones I'm circling as ones that you could potentially pass. So this is definitely a huge game, Lakers-Kings tomorrow.
Thanks, Brendan. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Last night after the game, Drapes, maybe you saw Drapes on the post game. He was talking to Mike Bibby about the home court thing. And Mike Bibby said, like, you know, sometimes I think this team would be better off if they open the playoffs on the road. And Drapes was like, why?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. But you know what, Whitey? I will say this as someone who's, you know, played both. I'm like Brendan. I actually enjoyed playing on the road more than I did at home. And, you know, we've heard the obligatory.
Yeah, I get
when you
that.
When you're playing at home, you got to deal with the family problems and, you know, reality, life. When you're on the road, sometimes you can kind of push that to the left and really focus and you know, hone in on what you want to do. But I also do think there's something to, like, going to someone else's house and, you know, stepping on the couch, a la Dave Chappelle, Rick James. You know, it's like I dig that. You know, yeah. I want to come in and disappoint, you know, the fans and the players and the family and everybody else. Like, I do understand where Brendan's going with that.
I think a lot of it has to do with what you were saying, and I think Mike Brown's talked about this, a caller or two talked about it. The Kings aren't always the most physical team. They're not the most physical team. They're not a great defensive team. So it's not sometimes so much that the Kings are home. It's that the team that comes in, the road team, they're really comfortable against the Kings.
Right.
Like Sam Amick said, Kings aren't scaring anybody right now.
No, and I think that was part of the transition. And that's, you know, I said this last week or so, if you flip-flop these years, it'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it would make more sense.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think just what you said is one of the things when it comes to the Kings is they're not catching anyone off guard. And it used to be the old regime of, you know, many regimes. You came to Sacramento as your get-right game. Like, you come into Sacramento, you're on a losing streak or a downturn, you're trying to get healthy, whatever it is, as we talked about, you coming in to try to get your career high, get a win, set your lineup, you know, do all these different things. And now it's like, no, we have to come in pistols blazing. We have to come in to win because they're a pretty good team. And I think the Kings are getting a lot of people's, not if not best, close to their best.
Yeah, it was a problem last year, too.
It was. Played way better on the road.
Yeah. When we come right back, are the Kings too reliant on the three ball? We'll look at some numbers next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Yeah, I remember grinding my feet and that he's out.
I saw this on X last night, and I think it was Kevin Phippen who X'd this, posted this, tweeted this, and if it wasn't, I apologize to everyone involved. He said he was somewhere, Jay, and he saw somebody wearing a Wembanyama Kings jersey. Isn't that kind of cool? Somebody had a...
How'd that happen?
I guess they got it made. A Wemby Kings jersey. How about that? We're just talking about Wemby because the Kings will see him
Thursday.
Soon. Yeah. He'll be back in town
Thursday.
It's amazing, as incredible as he is. And the Spurs have a worse record than they did last year before they got him, when they were tanking to get him. It's one of those things that's just baffling.
Yeah, I think I saw, and I have to triple check, but let me look for it real fast. If I'm not mistaken, I saw something on Twitter today, as you said, X. Just makes me feel dirty when I say that.
I know.
That Ramona Shelburne.
She was on just on one of the ESPN shows.
Yeah.
And she was, I think it was speculation, basically saying they're losing. He's not going to stay there forever.
Right.
And a lot of Spurs people are like, what are you? Yeah. Even our buddy Chuck Swirsky responded to that and said, I love Ramona Shelburne, but what is she doing? That's her opinion. She's making this into a thing and she doesn't even know. Basically saying that he's going to want out of there.
Yeah.
But he hasn't said that.
No, and I mean, he'd be a fool to say it. He hasn't played a full season in the uniform yet, you know. But when you come from winning, and we know this, when you come from winning and you start to lose, your mindset sometimes can change, and sometimes it takes a turn for the worse and makes you feel bad. Maybe he's mentioned that. Maybe he said that out loud to a family, friend, teammate, you know, a escort, a whatever, you know. And so
you say escort?
Yeah, not that type of escort. You see how you see where your mind is dirty?
Well, you were just talking about ex. I
felt where you were going. I already know, but I said that in the fact that you know he's not from over here. He's not from the United States. He's from France, and so it's interesting. I don't think, you know, there's any merit to it, but who knows?
Here's how I would phrase it, and I have phrased it this way. If I'm the Spurs, I don't know if Wemby's going to want to stay or not. I don't know. Yeah. But if I'm the Spurs,
locking him up now,
I'm going to do everything I can to be competitive because I don't know how long I'm going to have him.
Yeah, very true.
I can't fool around for, you know, what if I have him for 5 years and two of those years are like, yeah, you know, we weren't very good. No, you want to maximize your time with him and then – also, the sooner you're better, you'd think the more likely he'll stay. He may stay, but I'm not gonna assume he's gonna stay. You know, I think they should have tried to be more competitive this year, and they certainly have to try to be competitive next year, or else what are you doing?
Yeah, I think they definitely try to flip the switch, and they have a lot of money under cap next year. You know, what's gonna be interesting is, and we just saw it, and I know it's a different sport. Shohei Ohtani, international. Superstars, they just normally don't work. And I know, you know, Giannis wasn't a superstar.
Don't work
in small markets.
Huh.
Because it's all about the money, the flash, the big dollar. And so you kind of have to have, you know, these international stars in big places. And I know it's 2024. I know social network. You can be found anywhere. You know, I get all of that. But there's still a difference, you know, playing in Chicago compared to playing in San Antonio. There's a difference between playing at MSG every single night and playing in San Antonio. There's a difference, you know, playing for the Clippers, who have a brand new state-of-the-art facility, a billion-dollar owner, you know, and not to mention it's Los Angeles, then playing Greg Pop might be on his way out in a few years. San Antonio's got really nothing popping besides, you know, the Riverwalk, and I don't mean to be like Charles Barkley, but I'm just saying it's different.
That's why, to that point, this has nothing to do with anything except international stars in smaller markets. I was shocked when, it was 2012, when the A's got Cespedes. Remember when he came over?
Like, come on, of course.
What? He going to Oakland?
Yeah, but it was like $50 worth. I mean, $50 million worth.
Yes.
That's
and
why.
He ended up being a Met, and by then he was done. But, man, that was incredible. And
Oakland's not... Listen, and I don't want to go back to the A's argument.
But it's a small team, and, you know, small budget, small team.
Yeah, that's because it's John Fisher.
I know.
Operates that way.
Yeah. You're right. I guess, okay, yeah. He was playing in a big market.
Yeah, he's in the Bay, baby. Mm-hmm. Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Right
man,
down the
he
way.
He was good when he first came over.
Oh, man. He could hit, had a gun, healthy, hadn't
been hurt yet.
He literally
had a cannon.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he would just...
Right.
It literally was a cannon.
Captain
there was no
Jack Sparrow.
There. Boom. Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mitch has been hanging on. Let's get to Mitch on Sacktown Sports. How you doing, Mitch? Mitch? Is Mitch not there?
I mean, I like the
oh, way. There you are, Mitch. Hello. Yeah. Go ahead, Mitch. Fire away.
I like the way Bond has come along, and also his name slips my mind. I'm sorry. The second year player, it's coming along good.
Keegan Murray.
I think in the fourth quarter, we should get a little bigger. Get Len and McGee more involved.
Huh.
You know, playing a small ball sometimes backfires. I know we have more scoring power with a regular starting lineup, but I'm getting a little worried. Sabonis hasn't had his triple doubles. He's missed the last two games. I expect a triple double every day. Every game from the guy. I mean, he's that good. But he can't do it all himself.
Thank you, Mitch. It's true he can't do it all himself.
Mitch is worried about him not having a triple-double in the last couple of games? Goodness gracious.
That's pretty high bar, huh?
Man, it's high expectations.
Come on, Sabonis! Let's go! Where's the triple-double? By the way, this is another weird thing about the game last 18
night. 18-21, man.
Yeah, I know.
Even in a loss, and Domas didn't play his best game. I would imagine he would tell you that.
He hasn't been making as high a percentage of his shots.
Sure.
Yeah, lately. And again, it's nitpicking, but it's noticeable because he'd be like 11 for 14, and now he's, like last night, 7 for 19. The thing that's really odd about the game last night, the Kings had 20 offensive rebounds. And they had eight more shots than the Bulls, and they still lose because of all the turnovers. But, yeah, they out-rebounded the Bulls last night 51-32. 51-32, and they still
11 offensive rebounds.
Lost the game. Yeah. That's, I mean, 11 offensive rebounds. That's or 10 offensive rebounds, right?
Excuse me, 10.
Yeah,
10.
Yeah. That's remarkable. All right. We take a quick timeout here, come back, and we look ahead to tomorrow night. As promised, we'll also look at whether the Kings are too reliant on the three. We have Jerry Reynolds coming up next hour. And are you ready for tomorrow night's renewal of the rivalry between the Kings and the Lakers? Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.